Welcome everybody to Wrestling with the Truth. My name is BC Hunter, sitting alongside my good buddy, the Nightmare, Jay Myers. Jay, how you doing?
What is screaming all you, Nightmare? I got nothing. I need to come up with some sort of peepulation, but I can't come up with it. What is happening? I'm still working on that.
Just don't use peepulation, yes. Please.
Nightmarians. No,
it's your month, man. You got to come up with something.
This is your month. I'll keep thinking about it. It's got to be popping, as the kids say.
Big things stop. Was it
big things popping? Little things stopping.
Yeah, always I love that catchphrase. It's
such a good MVP is gold on the mic. Like, yeah, let's give him his credit where it's due.
Oh, he's and the resurgence of MVP has been one of my favorite things about wrestling.
I was really hoping they wouldn't take him off TV because he's hurt, right? But I was really hoping they wouldn't take him off.
The knee. He keeps having to get knee surgery.
Yeah, I know. But he was kind of working on TV without sort of working for a long time, right?
Yeah,
he's so good. Like, give me all of his promos.
I'm not sure what the story was with him not being over in Saudi, but
he's been off TV, I think, for a bit.
Has he?
Okay, yeah, I think so, but maybe I'm wrong. I thought he was.
Yeah, so here we are. It's we're into near the end of October.
We are almost into November, which means we're almost at the end of the year, which means Santa comes soon. And so it's happening.
It's crazy. Well, Santa came this week, I think, according to the wrestling world, because we were blessed with a couple of gifts.
Hashtag blessed.
A couple of amazing pay-per-views.
Listen, I said this to you yesterday, and I texted it out or messaged it out to a couple people. It's like Crown Jewel, in my opinion, easily the best Saudi pay-per-view, and that's not saying much. I get that because the bar was set low, but I think you even mentioned last night, and I would agree with it. Best pay-per-view of the year, probably. Best pay-per-view for the WWE in several months. It was up there with Mania, and I mean, Mania just always stands out because it's Mania, but I don't even know if the card of Mania was as good as this overall in storyline development and just quality of matches. So, yeah, I can't wait to get into this.
Yeah, I mean, and say what you want about, and we'll leave politics and all that stuff out of it.
We won't touch the politics.
Because, you know, this is the land of make-believe, so let's not worry about that stuff at the moment. But
and also, you should note there, let that skew your opinion of a show just because whatever decisions have been made for this Saudi agreement. It's a 10-year agreement, folks. Get used to it. It's not going anywhere.
Well, and if you want to get political, I'm sure there's a lot of people in other countries that would have a lot to say about Canada or the U.S.
Yeah, exactly.
So let's not get into that. But what we will talk about is just the Crown Jewel card. We'll talk about Bound for Glory as well. And I say what you want, the Crown Jewel had an amazing feel to it. It just felt like such a large event, and I think that's the whole reason why the whole pay-per-view kind of felt.
I couldn't agree more. And would you agree that up until this point, whether it was the Greatest Royal Rumble or the other Crown Jewels, I didn't get that feel from the ones? Yes, it was in a big stadium, but it almost felt muted a little bit, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and the crowd has a lot to do with that.
You made the comment about having couches with the royal people there, kind of brought down, whereas we actually had fans up front
center. Rowdy fans, you had chants in full-on English that, like, we always hear.
Yep.
Like, I thought they did a phenomenal job of packing it. And you still saw some of the, what I can only assume is royalty people there. Like, you did see those people in the crowd. Mm-hmm. But man, oh man, they packed that crowd full, and every single person had a T-shirt on. I don't even notice that, too. Yeah, they all had the merch.
I don't know if they
papered the crowd with those.
That's what I was wondering.
Or what,
did,
but it
to
was...
See, to see two, like, 8-year-olds with Hulkamania shirts on.
It was, but it made for great TV. It looked like my WWE 2K games where everybody has a T-shirt on.
And you know what? I honestly don't care. I don't really care if they paper, or if they do it, or AEW does it. It brings more flavor to the show. And take note, wrestling fans in North America, they weren't doing any you suck chants or
CM Punk chants or anything
exactly
like that.
They just were having a blast.
They even got a holy shit.
Yeah, they had a blast with the whole thing.
It was so cool. There was a couple dead spots, but I think there was some cool down moments where they were so up the whole show that I was like, man, I wish the crowd was a little more into this match, but that's to be expected. I felt
the dead spots came during the women's matches, and I wonder if that had more to do with
just the cultural. Fair enough. Yeah. Maybe they're afraid to. Yeah, that's a solid point. I'm not even gonna.
Not going
to pretend to pretend to even understand or I'm pretty ignorant to those cultures, but. Yeah, that's a solid point. Maybe that was something to do with that, because that was what I was going to say, too. It felt like it was the women's title match and the other match. But yeah, let's get into it. I mean, let's run down
our plan for the show. So
we're
pretty excited.
I'm just too excited.
Yeah. So we're gonna talk about we're gonna leave our friends at AEW out today just because I haven't had a chance to watch everything. I'm not sure if you've even had a chance to watch everything.
I didn't watch Dynamite from this week, but I did catch Rampage.
And we just want to focus on the big events. So we're gonna cover first off, we'll cover Crown Jewel. We'll also cover Bound for Glory, and we're also going to throw in a coverage of the G1 Climax tournament. We're going to welcome our good friend Mavs Gillis back to the show, and he's going to be doing a road report because he is literally on the road doing his other job. His I like to call that one his kayfabe job as a world famous sports reporter. So we'll have him calling into the show shortly to
old school calling in, exactly. Just like the old radio days.
Might be a little bit hard to hear because it's over the phone speaker, but I think we'll be able to pull it off. But I'm excited. We're gonna
add to the ambiance.
Yep, good old Maz is gonna give us a road report.
Can't wait for that.
It's gonna be just like back in the '90s. You know, the radio shows with
called the call in show with Mean Gene.
Exactly. Or Meltzer calling into John Arezzi's show. So it's going to be.
I don't know who that is.
I knew that was good.
He stumped me on that.
Well, look it up. There's some good podcasts for that. But anyways, he'll be calling in shortly, and we'll make sure we set aside some time for that. But let's get into it. Let's start out. We'll go in order. We'll start off with the deep dive into the card that was Crown Jewel. We won't, like I said, we won't do a match-by-match rating or anything like that, but let's just talk about some high-level highlights. So what was your thoughts on the show?
Yeah, I thought kicking off with the pre-show, even that was pretty great. So we got the Usos versus apparently a reunited Hurt Business, including, as we would find out later, the faction, I guess, is back. I thought it was a really solid match. One thing I will say, I found that they, and I guess we have Survivor Series coming up, so it might work out this way anyway, but like, they've been doing a lot. I don't know if you've noticed this, but I feel like the WWE has been doing a lot more non-heel babyface booking, you know what I mean? Because I'm in favor of it when it works. It's just, this match to me, felt a little thrown together, although it was a great match. This is probably going to rub people the wrong way. I'm not a big Usos guy. I find they're a little over the top. I don't find, to me anyway, they don't draw me in. But that said, I respect that people do enjoy the work and kind of the run they've had. I was really pulling for the Hurt Business. I think those two guys, Shelton and Alexander, need something to sort of put them back on top, if you will, in people's minds. Now I get it that they can just be the fodder for everybody else, and Lashley can throw them under the bus and all that stuff. I get all that. And that's what they're kind of there for. It was a great match. So it kicked off really good. I thought that was a great way to kick it off. Just the opening with the... I love that we went from a time where... I don't know if anyone can remember, because it seems like we're getting overdone with the pyro now. But it wasn't too long ago. We got no pyro.
None.
There was zero pyro. And that was an edict, I think, sent down from the top. That guy's pyro was pulled from their entrance. Guys got nothing. Like, not even sparklers or smoke. We got nothing. And now we're at this point where, I don't know if it subsequently coincides with the Saudi deal, but they had that even when they pulled the pyro. But maybe it's the billion-dollar network deal. I don't know. But now we get every single person has the most extravagant pyro ever, including the opening. I think the opening was like a 5-minute pyro demonstration. Went above, they even panned out, like you could see the stadium. It was pretty Super Bowl-esque. But anyway,
5 minutes of camel terrorization.
Yes, those poor camels. They're probably so scared.
By the way, I know we're jumping ahead to the Riddle situation, but what was Michael Cole's obsession with calling the camel by the proper genome name or whatever? It's like, geez,
the actual style of camel with
great.
The one hump.
You looked up on Wikipedia what a one-hump camel is.
Fair enough.
I thought it was called a Sally myself, but anyways.
That's a solid point.
Yeah, so anyway, let's talk about like Edge and Rollins.
Oh, my God. Like, what a match. Like, you knew it was going to be good because the build, we have mentioned this before, the build was so good going into it. It was, I think, on par, if not just... definitely on par with the Lesnar Reign stuff. I just think it's been that good. All the emotion they brought into it, like whenever you bring like houses and families into it, I think it steps it up. But just great match. I thought the pacing, I don't know about in your opinion, but the pacing felt fine. Like it felt really good. They didn't they didn't go crazy, but they kept it going. Maybe Rollins' anger over the last match he had, Hell in a Cell there with The Fiend, probably came into play. But I thought there were some good spots. The Rollins going into the cage, onto the table.
That bump was like, that ridiculous.
That was sick. Edge's.
So well done.
It was. And then Edge's harkened back to his spot where he did the chair from the top rope.
Yeah.
Kind of hit him. It didn't look as vicious as probably it wanted it to, but it was still a cool spot. And just the emotion in the match was great. Edge.
The innovation with the chain around the boot.
Yeah, that was super cool. And then Edge taking it. And then, both of those guys are so, they're amazing. Both of them are amazing. But, the facials that they give, just the reactions when I think Rollins kicked out of something. I forget what it was. But Edge's desperate look to the camera, it's just what the hell do I got to do? And then it just sort of fueled to it. I think we got a really good resolution to that feud. I hope. I think that was a good way to end it, in my opinion. What was your thoughts on it overall?
I completely in agreement. I mean, it was one of the best Hell in a Cell matches I've seen, just from a storyline perspective. I know we've had blood and guts and stuff in Hell in a Cell, and so obviously you had other things like the Foley Undertaker one. But as far as just a storyline, you felt the viciousness. You felt right away they were. It wasn't just a simple lockup. They wanted to fight each other.
They wanted to beat each other's ass.
They wanted to end each other.
And listen, I've been critical of the gimmick matches in the past where
this one did make sense. Ending a feud.
And could it have just been a no holds barred match? Sure. Did you have to have the Cell? Probably not, because it didn't really.
Could they have started the feud with the Hell in the Cell?
Are you trying to dig on AEW there? I think that might be his one dig of the episode. No, I guess all I'm saying is I've been a little critical in that we don't even, it's basically heck in the cells now. You know what I mean? We're not getting the blood. We're not getting any of that. And that's fine if that's the way they want to go, right? And we get that. But this one felt that it at least aided a little bit of the match. We got that table spot.
Yeah.
But could I have done without the Cell? Probably. You know what I mean? You could have had that similar style match because nobody, I guess what I'm saying is nobody tried to interfere. Mm-hmm. Nobody, you know what I mean? They did, the Cell usually is to keep people out as well as keep them in, right? So anyway, but a fantastic match. The passion was there. Then I think we went to, was it Mansoor Ali? Was that the next match we went into?
Yeah, it was.
Which I hate that I even had to say this to you last night, but I was like, shockingly surprised how good a match that was
because it was a great match.
Because those two guys they're not given the time, right, to really flesh things out in most cases. Obviously, he had the hometown boy with Mansoor, and I thought, that guy, Mansoor seems to be really coming to his own as far as...
I've been really... when I first saw him, this guy is...
He was super green.
I thought they just got him exactly for that event, and that was it. But I've really come to like him. I think what really changed it for me was, and it sounds silly, but it's when he got his hair cut. And it just seemed like he had this more serious tone to him, and he can do stuff in the ring.
Yeah, he can go.
I'm becoming a fan of Mansoor, so congratulations to them on that.
Yeah, I agree. And
Ali obviously is
Ali's great, fantastic. Man. I've always been an Ali fan, and he's been cut a raw deal a few times, but. Are you with me in that, Mansoor's frame reminds me of an Edge early days in that he could fill that out pretty good and be a pretty big dude. He's a tall guy. Mm-hmm. So if he puts on a little bit of mass, that guy is a top level looking guy, right? I guess for me, I found Mansoor really turning the corner. And it's only because it's what have you done for me lately? And that's how my brain works. But partnering him with Ali, I think, has really helped him because Ali has been able to...
Yep.
Instill
which is the point of this whole thing.
Yeah, exactly. And even the way he responded to Ali's bullying and all that stuff, I thought it was really great. Mm-hmm. So kudos to both those guys. Great match. And I didn't even hate the kind of gimmicky Gaga stuff at the end. I thought it was kind of cool, and poor Ali gets the brunt of it. But I think he'll be fine at the end of the day. Yeah.
But you know what? That typical moment for Ali probably made every news place in Saudi Arabia, right? Yeah. And internationally too, just because we don't know who this karate player Michael Cole, Jesus.
But is that the official term?
No, it's not the official term. Come on.
Karate player. Jesus. I did chuckle.
It's just medical facility, but anyways, this anyways, sorry. I know Michael Cole
doesn't take away from him being on my list.
but we might not know who he is, but certainly everybody in that building knew who he was, and they popped for him.
Yeah.
And My God, that kick was quick.
I don't think it was meant to be, but he didn't get all of it for sure.
Of course not. He would have killed him.
He would have killed him. But that was super fast.
It was so fast.
I think you blink and you missed it. But yeah, I thought that was really cool. Mansoor got a moment, obviously, with him in the ring. So great stuff there. What do we have next?
So then we went to RK-Bro versus Styles and Omos. And honestly, I don't have much to say with it. It was fine.
It was
fine. A match that has Randy Orton and AJ Styles, you're never going to say that was a crappy match.
No.
And Omos, again, looked like a beast.
Looked really good. You got some cool entrance stuff.
You got
the cool entrance stuff. I love that Randy's embracing this. For anybody who ever shit on Randy Orton through the years, how can you criticize him?
He's having
him now?
Fun.
He's having immense fun.
Somebody else mentioned that, and I don't know if it was, I forget where it was at, but somebody said that he seems to be having fun.
He's just enjoying it.
And I find Orton just kind of, the switch changed for him when he got married.
Yeah.
And he's fair enough. I mean, you see him on social media. I mean, him and his wife are just they're like just this couple that just, they're doing their own thing. They're as happy as anything. And it seemed like that's when the switch changed for him. And he's just said, I'm just going to have fun with this stuff.
How could you not?
And he is having fun.
in the role he's been presented
in his
career.
Plus, I'm going to be a badass MF-er as well. So,
but the career he's had, how could you not just look back and be like, you know what? I'm enjoying the hell out of this.
And you can insert
him. He loves to troll too, which is even better, right?
Exactly. And you can insert him in the title picture whenever you want. It's kind of like we talk about with Sheamus. He's a guy that, okay, we need somebody to be a serious contender. Let's grab Orton and put him back.
Well, perfect example is they've inserted him with Riddle in this thing right here. He can literally do whatever you need him to do. And
I loved when he was threatening Lashley. So you had the tag champs involved into the world title picture.
Yeah.
That harkened back to the old, I'd say, the Attitude Era days when you could easily have tag team champions kind of confronting the world champion. So I
not so much
that.
Lately, but no, that was good. Anyway, so
usually the tag champs feel like they're really
down the card.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I agree. There wasn't anything that really stood out outside. It was a really solid match. AJ, I mean, how could you, like you said, AJ's in the match. I mean, honestly,
got to go down as one of the top 10 of all time.
Agreed.
And he's got a Hall of Fame career just from his WWE stuff alone.
Just the last, and that would be wrong to admit all the other stuff he had, right?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And I think I've read or heard him say that he's just having fun too. He doesn't need to go over. He doesn't need a title. He's just happy to sort of help where he can. And
he's amazing. What he's done with Omos has been fantastic.
And Omos looked great. It was just a fun match. Totally okay with the finish. I don't know where this goes. You know what I mean? How long do they run this out? Are we going to get a turn? I hope so.
I think so.
I hope so. Cause that just elevates Riddle, obviously. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Please, Riddle, put on some shoes at least, though.
Interesting if they go the route of Riddle turning, but I don't know if we'll go that way. But if Riddle was the turn, that'd be an interesting.
I was just gonna say, would it be cool though if Riddle turned and because I think we've talked about this before. I love Riddle. I think he's super talented, immensely talented. Obviously, he's an athletic guy. Where does this go though? You can only be this bro guy and taken seriously. Well, he's not really taken seriously, right? So. If you're going to elevate Riddle, you got to tweak that, in my opinion.
Yeah,
don't you think?
We had that argument.
He would be the Santino at that point.
No,
right?
We had that argument about Big E. Too much ha-ha with him, and look at him now.
But I'm not a big Big E. I don't love this incarnation of Big E. I would love to see the old Big E Langston come back, to be honest. But
we'll see.
I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying.
Okay. From there, we went on to the finals of the Queen's Crown tournament, and that was Zelina Vega versus Doudrop again. I know there's been so much complaining about the amount of time given this whole tournament.
That's a fair criticism. They haven't given them a ton of time.
I did point out to you, though, the second longest match in the entire card
was a women's match.
So, I mean, it goes back to, are we going to give Santino and
insert
20 minutes to go? No, we're not. But we're giving appropriate people that stuff. They gave Mansoor and Ali amount of time, and they were able to do something with it. They gave Doudrop and... Zelina, it was just under 6 minutes here, and I think that was an appropriate
amount. But I thought it was enough to accomplish what they needed
to do. I thought it was
an
appropriate amount of time.
Yeah,
and
agree.
I thought Zelina came off looking like a star here.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but baby face much? She definitely came out of that looking more baby than anything else, don't you think? Doudrop, to me, looked like the heel in that match.
Yeah.
Did you get that sense?
I don't know if I got that sense, but
maybe it was just hard to read.
It seemed like the crowd was kind of into Zelina.
Yeah. Anyway, I thought it was great. I thought they worked... I thought their styles, obviously it's hard. I have to imagine it's hard to work when you have Doudrop being so much bigger than another competitor. And Zelina's pretty small, even like for the rest of the division, she's pretty small. I mean, from a stature standpoint,
yeah.
But I thought they worked really well together. I thought they blended, and Doudrop is super talented. Don't get me started on the Doudrop name. Why can't she just be Piper Niven? But anyway, that is what it is.
Because I don't even know who Piper Niven is. That's
well,
why it doesn't matter.
Is Doudrop a better name for
I'm not saying that it's a better name, but like they could have called her
anything.
Scotty McScotch.
Scotty McDo or
something. Because, you know, 200,000 smart fans know who Piper Niven is. Two million, not so into the indie stuff, don't have a clue who.
No, and that's a solid point. Just give her an actual name.
But she's got a gimmick now.
She's got the little jazz hands thing, and
she's going to be a star champion.
The only thing I noticed is she relied on the hands a little bit too much. She was doing it every.
It was a bit excessive,
and so much that I noticed it and it took away from it a little bit. But anyway,
it could have been nerve.
That Code Red was fantastic.
That was
like, come on. That was a.
And I like
flawlessly executed. You know what I mean?
I even like the part where just before that, where Zelina had her down the corner and she's just like trying to drag her out.
She couldn't do it.
Which made sense. Yeah. That does make sense. Yeah. Doudrop should have been really hurt and immobile, and she should have struggled to do that. We see too much cooperation.
Well, a great point. I always chuckle because yes, we're supposed to suspend our disbelief, but we're not supposed to suspend our disbelief that physics are a thing.
Yeah.
Like physics are a real thing. Like we should be able to expect that someone like Doudrop, you're not going to be able to move her if you're Zelina Vega. You got to be bigger than Doudrop to be able to move her. So that makes perfect sense. And like to your point, all this cooperation to get to a spot, I don't enjoy that. It's what drives me crazy. Yeah, I don't enjoy that either. It doesn't. Even though it's a staged fight, I want it to look like a fight. Like, give me the fight. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Because if it doesn't, then that's... Anyway, but we can go on a rant about that. But
we don't want to see the wires in the movies, right?
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to see the behind the scenes. I want it to look like a cinematic fight.
Anyways, of the two, I think they made the right pick. Overall, I probably would have rather see like Shayna or somebody
get
it. But you know what? Shayna doesn't need it. She's just a badass.
And she's got... I think Shayna can go a lot of places.
At least
this
gives Zelina something. And I will say this... She will probably run with that crown a lot better than, say, a Shayna would.
Because she's got the charisma to do it.
She does, yeah.
And not that Shayna doesn't have this passion. You could just see the passion from Zelina. Like, she clearly cares, right? I mean, not as much as maybe we got from Woods, but, like, she wanted that. She loves that win.
Well,
right?
Zelina's got really good facials, I find. And so she could really play up this whole mean queen.
I love it. Love it if they're going that route. What do we have next?
Next, we had, for me... Which was a surprise, was Goldberg Lashley. And I gotta give props. Yeah. I am not a big Goldberg guy, but Goldberg came, he looked in shape, he looked good, and he had a good match. It was
a great match, I thought.
And I mean, I have no complaints about this. It was the right amount of time. They did their angles, they worked over body parts. He had no trouble getting Lashley up for the spot. Yep. I'm sure Lashley was like, I'm going to make this guy look like $1 million.
Yeah. I've kind of turned the corner, maybe whatever the right way to say it on the like Goldbergs and sort of whoever else insert legend they want to bring back. Yes. Does it take away a spot from a guy? Sure. But does it do what it's supposed to do?
Yes.
100%. Like that is the Hulkamania type moment or the Hulk Hogan type guy. Like you got to. So, it was the same thing when The Rock would come back. Yes, it's unfortunate, but they're doing it for a reason because it works and it sells and it makes sense. As long as the guy that they're bringing can do what he needs to do. And we've had some questionable moments in the past where guys just clearly didn't perform and like all we have to do is go back to Goldberg, Taker, and that's a bit of a tougher one, right? If you're going to bring two guys in that are at the end of their career, that's too tough, right?
I was just about to say,
you got to have a guy that can work with them.
You have a young guy working. I know Lashley's not super young, but...
No, but he's still in the prime of his
career. He's in the prime. But you have a young guy working with a legend, which makes sense. Having two legends where they're kind of plodding around there, it doesn't make... We found that out from Taker and Goldberg. We even found that out from the DX match against Taker and Kane.
Or just the DX versus NWO.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
I mean, that was...
But when you have that mixture where you have the young guy that can be the speed in the match and be the movement and all that, and then you just have... All you have to have Goldberg
and
do is just hit
like
a few spears in the jacket.
Yeah, and it's not like Lashley had to carry the match, but Lashley was able to, I assume, call the match at a pace that worked.
Yeah.
And I thought it worked brilliantly.
It did.
The like Goldberg selling? Like, when have we had Goldberg go 10 minutes? Like, that was amazing to me that he actually, and yes, I know he wasn't doing a lot, but he was getting beat up, and that was cool to see.
Yep.
That, to me, finish aside, whatever you want to say about the finish, I thought Lashley looked like $1 million in that match.
Yep.
And it was a built-in story with the kid and all that stuff. Yes, people were joking, like, Goldberg saying he's going to kill people in Saudi Arabia is not probably the best thing to say, but like
it's his thing.
It was a thing, right? Yeah. It was a cool story, and we didn't get his kid involved, which obviously that becomes a logistical thing to get him over there too, but I thought that was good. We didn't get that. We didn't play into any of that stuff. It was just a straight up beat the shit out of each other. We got the Hurt Business show up. They were great, I thought. Like, Goldberg taking them out. Mm-hmm. Goldberg's passion was... I got nothing bad to say. He took the gloves off. That was cool. Like, I just don't... I don't remember ever seeing Goldberg in that type of match where he sort of showed the emotion he did. You know what I mean? And that spear off the stage was pretty awesome. Where did Lashley get the blood? Like, he busted his arm pretty
good. It looked
good.
Like it was when Goldberg speared him through the retaining wall. It looked like he must have scraped his arm.
He was bleeding pretty good.
It was,
At first I was like, oh, did he catch it on the table on that spot? But no, he was bleeding well before that.
Yeah.
Anyway, fantastic. I really loved that match.
Yeah, no, no complaints about it. And honestly, if Goldberg had one more bad outing, they would have. I would have said, you have to cut ties.
Yeah, the guy's.
But he actually maybe wanted to see maybe one more match.
Well, I agree. And he clearly was dedicated to getting back. Like, I had heard that the last time we saw him and he had the shorts and stuff, it was because they didn't give him a ton of time. And he, rightfully so, the guy is pushing 50, isn't he? Or he is 50. Like, you need to give that guy some time so that he can hit the gym and get. And do what he needs to do.
Take his vitamins.
take his vitamins and say his prayers.
Drink his milk.
But Jesus.
Hey, I have no qualms.
If I look that damn good at his age, I don't look that good now. So, like,
if Sly Stallone can do the same thing, take his vitamins for movie roles, I have no problem with this.
And he looked the part. He looked fantastic.
I'm not gambling on this stuff, so I don't have an issue with it.
No, exactly.
So. All right, we went on to the finals of the Men's King of the Ring tournament. Xavier Woods against Finn
Balor. Could it
Balor.
Have been more obvious who was going to win this match? Like, that was the only beef I had with that, is that, like, we knew exactly
but,
how this
you know,
was going
to again,
end.
This goes back to the whole fan expectation. You're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. Because could if you imagine Finn, if they didn't have him win, then people would have crucified
up in
him.
Arms. They would have been up in arms. Although it's Finn, so the only thing I would say, maybe they wouldn't have been.
I still think they would have crucified
probably,
him.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, that was Xavier's dream.
That was his moment. How could you take that away from him?
A grand good old school match, just a slow pace.
I thought that was really good. We mentioned this, like, they really, really, really slowed it down early, and for a good five minutes they were keeping it on the ground. They were doing like classic style, which I thought was great, and then it picked up, obviously. Listen, I've said this before, you're not gonna find me in the Woods fan club, but it was a great match. It was a solid finish. I wish that Finn would get elevated to the level I think he deserves, but it is what it is. You know what I mean? I know he's had the Universal title run, but is he really? Because he got that cut short pretty quickly. And in my opinion, hasn't had that respect put back on him. But he was in a high-profile finals match, and he elevated Woods. He did his job. I thought it was a great match. I'd almost like to see Finn go heel. What do you think about that? Kind of like create a new
stable.
That's what I mean. Like, create a new Bullet Club.
Not just a solo heel.
No. I mean, like, full-on. Because... he's a great, like, he's
not a big enough guy to be on his own.
No, but he's a great
he had
performer.
Heaters around him.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. Like, you could bring
you could even,
in.
You
a
could
new,
even have him and AJ reunite as the club.
As the club, but like not have, the club. I think that was why they went the club instead of.
No, I just
else.
When
yeah.
I'm when no. it's the Bullet Club, but I'm saying just
agreed.
Play into that.
Get some. Well, even just have him unite with Amos and Amos, I don't know, and AJ. That would, anyway, I thought it was great. He's gonna truly embrace it. Here's my only beef with Xavier as King. I think it's going to get really campy really quick, and that's what I'm not looking forward to, because watching SmackDown, I'm like, ugh, I'm already kind of not into this. But anyway, that's my take on Xavier. It goes back to our conversation. Like, why are you doing the King of the Ring? Is it just to give a guy a new character? Because can't you just give him the King character to begin with?
Honestly, I think Xavier just lobbied so much for
probably,
this tournament.
Probably.
And it fit in with the whole crown jewel motif. Yeah. So maybe that. But I even right from the time he crowned himself at the end of that match, you could see a little bit of heelness coming out.
Agreed.
He was like talking to the camera and saying, I'll decide when you cut away and all that.
And I'm for that.
It's almost like the Crown immediately just brought the power.
Well, I was talking about, I think last night we were talking about SmackDown, and I was like, Kofi coronated him or whatever, I was like, oh, please, somebody turn on somebody here. I was like, I want that scepter across somebody's back. Yeah. Like, give me something. But maybe they're going to slow build to that. Maybe I'm getting cranky in my old age, but I'm done with the silly characters, I guess. I'm really done with the over-the-topness of
That's
the New
Day. That's because AEW's shown you what real wrestling is.
Yeah, yeah, because the promotion with a dinosaur and...
that doesn't exist.
And a guy who's not intense until he needs to be.
He puts his hands in his pocket. Who beats the hell out of Will Hobbs.
Yes.
You know, but no. That's real wrestling. There's no such thing as gimmicks there.
So, and I maybe
Young Bucks.
Stop! You're popping me. But I guess I'm getting, maybe that's just me, because if I were to start my promotion, if I had unlimited funds and I started, it would be a legitimate shoot style promotion. I don't want any. And that's just me. I like that style. I want seriousness.
And your 12 fans would love it.
Yeah, exactly. Shut up. I have all of these grandiose visions that would only be good for me and nobody else. But
it's called Bloodsport. Have you ever looked at it? Burnett's thing?
Oh, no.
He has a shoot style federation. That
interesting.
Type of thing. Look, check it out.
And it wouldn't have to be shoot style. But I guess what I'm saying is just I want these guys to come off like MMA, right? I mean, yeah. I don't want any, that doesn't mean no characters. Mm-hmm. It just means like, I want you to take it serious. And I just,
which
find
is ironic is MMA is kind of embracing the whole
wrestling
genre.
Aspect.
Yeah.
Of it. Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know, all that to say that I'm just, I hope
you hate Xavier.
No.
Although I will say this, like when they announced it, I'm like, King Xavier, that makes sense. That sounds like a real name.
Yeah.
You know? And I'll say this. I get where you're going. Like, I hated like a Hacksaw Duggan as King.
Yeah.
I mean, Haku, yeah, sure, he was a badass, whatever. Some of them were kind of foolish, but the guy that I feel like really took it and ran was Booker. And he was able to mix the silliness with the seriousness because he had that pedigree. And
he was a main eventer at that
point.
It
got him to the world title, right?
Yeah.
Like he finally got that world title all around his waist because...
Embraced it.
I think Vince McMahon saw like, this guy has got so much character.
Yeah.
Let's go with it, right? Yeah. It's no different than JBL. That whole thing was just a character at first, the whole JBL gimmick with the cowboy
pretty quick,
hat and all that. And then all of a sudden they realized, we got something here.
Didn't the JBL thing really come overnight and they just were
pretty
like
much,
sort of put
yeah.
it together and they threw him out there and then they're like, oh God, we have something here.
We have something, exactly. Yeah. And I think, you never know, maybe we have something with Xavier.
Yeah, fair enough.
I really do think, because he's got so much personality, if he goes in a certain direction with it, it could very quickly go off the cliff and it just could get really silly. But if he goes in a certain direction, I think in a heel direction, you might have something there.
100% agree. And if it goes into the King Booker like era,
yeah.
then that's great. I said this last night. I'm just not a fan of the trombone and the silliness and
well,
all that nonsense.
A way to get
you know
rid
what I mean?
Trombone.
Like that to me is just stop with that. Like that just like
it's Play-Doh.
I can't buy you as a serious dude in this. Like the New Day can still be their essence of what they are without the stupidness, the campiness. And I know that's
and
for
I
the
think
kids
they're
and all that stuff.
Slightly but. Moving away from that slightly.
Yeah, maybe.
So it'll be interesting to see. But anyways,
but
we
anyway,
spent a lot
of
time.
Like
on
let's hope that goes really well.
You hate exactly.
But I did one
but
last point.
But you love Luchasaurus.
No. I one last point on that is I did
Michael
find
Nakazawa, baby oil. Yeah.
But you had
Real
mentioned
wrestling.
The King. Shush. You had mentioned the King Xavier, but they actually on commentary said King Woods.
Oh, I'd rather go to King Xavier.
I know, but did you catch that? But then on SmackDown,
sorry,
he is King Xavier.
Sorry, I didn't see. SmackDown.
So when he won, they actually did say "All hail King Woods" or something like that.
Okay.
But on SmackDown, he is King Xavier.
The announcer, I forget what his name is, but
said King
Greg,
Xavier.
Greg, whatever.
No,
Greg
sorry, Hill. I'm mixing that up. Woods said "All hail King Woods," not the announce crew.
Okay, gotcha.
When they panned to him and you could hear him talk, he said "All hail King Woods."
Oh, I think definitely go with the King Xavier.
Yeah, and fair enough, and they did because
Xavier the first.
Yeah, he did
like
on SmackDown. He had the whole deal with Xavier
for sure. All right, next you had the Big E Drew McIntyre match for the WWE Championship.
Yep, solid. What does Big E say?
Two big meaty men slapping meat.
It was exactly what it was. It was physical. I'm praying to the wrestling gods above that what I see out of Drew right now is starting to happen. They're getting away. I know he's still got the sword and stuff, but they're getting away from the campiness they were doing with him as well. So I hope that is the case. And I'm further confident that in SmackDown, he was just playing a badass again, which mm-hmm. was cool. He still had the sword, but he was playing pretty good badass. So I just thought it was two guys went in there and they had a really solid match. I don't have anything real. Nothing stood out to me as like it was amazing, mm-hmm. but it was a classic two babies going in there and just sort of having a physical match.
Yep.
I will say this. It did highlight to me, and I never noticed this before, and I'll get your take on it. Big E's big ending, not that impressive to me when he does it to a big guy. Maybe now it's not even that impressive in general. It's just not a move that before I never really noticed it, but like doing it to Drew, I'm like, that's not that impressive a move to me.
No, to me, it's never been like.
There's no impact for the guy.
Yeah, yeah.
There's literally nothing to the guy you're doing it to.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe his face hits but that's not even really that because he's on your shoulder. So, yeah, anyway, that was just a side note I took away. I would like to see maybe him tweak up.
It with a little bit more velocity, yes, could be. But
and it does look better for a smaller guy. I get that because he can drive him down a little bit more. But
I don't know.
I think maybe a guy needs to elevate his move or evolve his moveset too.
And I don't know if you remember Arn Anderson had a finisher called the Gourd Buster. Do you remember?
Yeah, I do remember that. It's kind of like Cesaro's Cesaro's finish, right? The Gourd Buster is a face first suplex, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And the way he would do it,
does it every now and again.
Yeah, Cody. He would do this little snap to it when he's bringing the guy down.
Fling his legs down.
Which brought his head first, and it looked like it had impact. And
like
I think,
a DDT kind of thing.
Yeah, with Big E, if he had a little bit more speed to it, I think it would look a bit more devastating.
But for a guy as big as Big E, I just feel like he could evolve his moves.
He could do a ton of stuff,
yeah, right? And I just, that move does not feel like top level Devastator move, you know what I mean? Yeah. Anyway, that's just a side note, but
sure.
I thought the match was great. Obviously, I was pulling for Drew to win, but I get it. Even Big E after, I mean, they did the respect thing, and Drew was leaving Raw, so I get that. But even Big E, when the camera panned, was like, "I'm just getting started. We're just getting started." All that stuff. So I guess for me, like the Xavier stuff, I just want to see Big E evolve. You know what I mean? I want to see them flush Big E out a little bit. Would I love for him to go back to the Big E Langston sort of just beat the hell out of guys kind of style? Sure. But I'll take what he is now and just evolve that. Then I would be happy with that.
I agree. It was a decent match. I enjoyed it. I had no complaints about it. I like Big E. I like Drew. Yeah. I no complaints about it. I mean, overall, top to bottom, I have no complaints.
Disagree, damn it.
Now, would you be okay with the sword if he actually physically stabbed somebody with it? Or impaled them?
I would only be okay with the sword if he beheads someone in the ring. That's the only way I'm okay with the sword.
Maybe he can join Xavier's court and be his...
Oh, good call.
Yeah, his, what do you call it? The executioner. Yeah.
Or yeah, he could be one of his knights. Listen, I mean, the whole, like, it's his mother thing, and all, like, that's really cool. Mm-hmm. I get all that. But, like, I think it should just be a symbolic thing. He doesn't need to bring it down to the ring. I don't know. Maybe like
just didn't want to get a tattoo.
Yeah, maybe. I just don't know why. I don't know. It's just not a. I don't know. Maybe I'm just being silly about it. But
we both are big Drew fans.
Love Drew.
Gigantic badass man. So let's just see him be a gigantic
badass
man.
Just beat the hell out of people.
Okay, next we go to the triple threat for the SmackDown Women's Championship.
Yeah,
we won't even go. Go into the mess that was on SmackDown with the title exchange, but the triple threat. I gotta say, right off the get go, I really enjoyed this match.
I did too.
I thought it was a great match.
It was probably 1A for me versus the Roman match. Like, go throw Goldberg in there too. Like,
throw the Hell in the Cell.
Throw the Hell. Oh my God! Yeah, good call. I mean, I guess there was really that's saying something right there, because that match was good.
It was good. Say what you want. Bianca came out looking like
I was
a
just
star.
Gonna say. What did you think of Bianca? To me,
which remember she was buried.
Shut up!
Don't forget she was buried by that loss to Becky.
I never, to
she's
be clear,
nobody.
To
she's
be clear, rewind the
crap.
Tapes. I never said I feared for her going forward. I just didn't like how they treated her in that match. That was my comment. I didn't fear that she was going to be ever destroyed. Now, I'm sure lots of other people did.
Yes, they did.
I just didn't. Yes. I just didn't. I just didn't enjoy what they did to her in the match itself.
But
that
what
being
it led
said,
to is you being so behind Bianca that was the point of it.
Well, and it's pretty clear that all three of those women work super well together. Say what you will about Sasha. I know Sasha takes a lot of heat.
I'm really kind of over Sasha.
But she can do what she needs to do in the ring. You know what I mean? And like, you can't take that away from her. I think I have soured a little bit on her as well. And I would almost, I think I've elevated Bailey more to where I used, I used to put Sasha on the top.
Bailey's up
and
there.
And I think I've elevated Bailey kind of over Sasha.
Can't wait for her to get back.
But maybe this is all the plan, and maybe Sasha's, they're trying to do the Xbox style heat for her or something like that. I don't know. Like, we'll see where the Sasha stuff goes. But at the end of the day, they worked amazing together. Bianca's just so talented. I just think she's got so much more to flesh out. But that being said, Becky's a star. Like, I think that's what's pretty clear. Like, Becky is a star. She's finally getting to show the personality that she probably always had. We didn't really get to see with that old sort of, where she used to come up with the goggles and all that stuff.
Oh, the steampunk stuff.
Yeah. Like, maybe that was her thing, but obviously it didn't allow her to flesh out this character. Like, this sort of cocky heel, like slimy heel is great for her. I love it. So yeah, I that was a great, great match. Lots of cool spots. They worked really well together. My only thought was just around the crowd. It would have been a little bit better if they...
But they started getting into it at the end.
Yeah, at the end
of the
match.
They started to pop, and they were just like... I felt like they just said, screw this. This is a great match. Yeah. We're going to cheer, and we get in trouble, whatever.
No,
but
agreed.
It was... They seemed to really get into it, and they really did seem into Becky a lot.
Yep.
And the feats of strength of Bianca were just crazy. I worry about her as far as, you know, having a hernia
injury,
or something at some point.
Because she's really trying a lot of times.
Oh, yeah, she's trying a lot of stuff. Yeah. And she doesn't need to do four feats of strength in the match. One of them
just
in
one,
a match
yeah.
is great. But she is so athletic. It's insane. She's so young. There's so much to go.
Well, and there's so much good to work with her. Like, mm-hmm. the hair really plays into a mm-hmm. lot of different ways you can go. Because, like, obviously the heels use it against her.
Yeah,
she gets to do it as part of her insurance, obviously, but then she does the hair whip every now and again. Now, mm-hmm. she hasn't done it as a baby, I don't think,
in a while,
or maybe mm-hmm. ever as a baby face. But yeah, there's so much with that, with her as a character too, that you can go with, which I think is cool.
I've said this before, I don't even know if I said it on air, but we've definitely talked about this off air. I think the big difference when you see the ladies at that level and why those matches are so good, and when I say this comes as a compliment, it's not an insult. They wrestle like the men.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Like, you've seen the Divas pillow fight matches where, you know, it's...
Of yesteryear.
It's pretty pathetic to watch. But these, like, when I watch Bianca throw a kick, a boot in there, she's throwing it like a wrestler throws it. Like,
or
when they're throwing
elbow,
punches or elbows or anything they're doing. And you
if
can
anything,
tell...
If anything, I find sometimes the girls, the women, sorry, or whatever you want to... I mean, that's not derogatory, but they... They go harder, I think, sometimes.
Yeah, there was some stiffness in that. And there were some really unique spots. Like, even the little thing where Bianca, it was a harken back to the SmackDown episode, I think, but where Sasha was trying to powerbomb her outside off the apron, and so she did her little backflip.
Oh, yeah, she flipped off.
But then Becky came out of nowhere off the table and just hit the two of them, and I think that was a really cool spot. Like, you know, and it wasn't one where they stood there and they held each other and they watched Becky come. She came from behind. So it was,
It was, and you know what else it was? It was a perfect blueprint for a triple threat match.
Yes,
it
was really good.
You know what I mean? Yeah. At no point was I like waiting for something to happen. At no point did you were like, where's the other guy? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, none of that. It was because you get that a lot with the multi-man matches sometimes. I thought the pacing was great. It just worked. So I was super happy with that match.
For
and
sure.
I'm okay with Becky winning. Like, that
I'm
was
okay with that. Yeah.
We did discuss sort of last night how you could have avoided a lot of the title swap things if you just. I guess that would have meant Sasha went over, but then like you could have just easily booked some different things for that.
And we talked about this, although the title swap itself was a debacle from what I saw, I'm not as up in arms over the title swap as everybody else is, because those titles are on the same level. They're both equal. So that's fine. As long as they don't put it in the record books as a title change for each of them. But
as long as Charlotte doesn't get another.
But if you're swapping the Universal title for the Tag Championship, that's a little bit different.
Yeah.
But where it's two championships that are on the level and
that are actually attached to a show.
And you had two superstars in Charlotte and Becky who are on the same level. That's a little bit different.
Yeah, I agree. That's a nothing there thing for me.
Oh, but people are losing their mind over it. And Charlotte's going to AEW because she's all upset about it. Oh, Jesus. Anyways.
Cranky old man's getting off. Get off his lawn.
Get off my lawn. Is back on the lawn. And we finish it off with Reigns and Brock. And I got to say, I loved this match.
What a way to what are they called?
Two meteor men slapping even more me.
Yeah, but what a way to bookend, right? You have Edge and Seth to open, and you got Brock and Roman to end. And I'm sorry, I am absolutely loving this incarnation of Brock.
Like, I love every incarnation of Brock.
I know, But like the fun he's having, the ridiculous look, which I love, like the ponytail Brock, and like
I can't wait for Boombox Brock.
Yeah, but like he is clearly embracing it. I thought they worked well together. I enjoyed this match much more than the 31 match, I think it was, that they had, or was it 31?
31 was the good one. That was the one that Rollins cashed.
Sorry,
in.
Yes.
What it was the other 34 one? Or something.
Okay,
like
the other
that?
One after yeah. that, yeah. But like I just it was physical. Brock obviously has his moveset that he does, but Roman I thought looked great in it. There were some kickouts. We got. I mean, Heyman's always involved, and like the stoic Heyman, the whole
MVP
match,
Heyman. Yeah. Even like at the end where he throws the belt title. In, and
what just, did he say? Do what you will with it, or something.
You know what to do. You know or what something to do. Like with that. It, but, yeah. And then the facials, even at the very end when he's going up the ramp with Roman,
you're still not quite.
You're
sure.
Still not sure. Yeah. And then finally, he's just like, I better do this.
But like that to that point, they furthered the storyline
exactly.
even better
because that wasn't the blow off match.
No, there's well clearly. Although, from SmackDown, there might be, I don't know if Brock's just like doing the contract stuff or not.
Just doing their thing to keep him,
so he doesn't have to be
and
on the show.
And by the way, there's a novel idea. Imagine.
Make a guy.
How big does Brock feel because he's not on every show? Right?
I thought watching SmackDown. So for those who what we're referencing is Brock got written off TV because he got suspended because he beat the shit out of everyone, basically. He threw guys around. He broke cameras. He F5'd Adam Pearce twice. He ripped his pants. It was amazing. And like even I think it was McAfee like, he ripped his pants. Like he just it was so good. But like that is how you write a guy off TV. Oh. Don't make some weak injury angle. Don't make some disappear. Dude just beat the piss out of everybody and got suspended and give me more of that any day of the week.
Yeah.
So that was super okay with that. Clearly Brock's got limited dates, so that's what they need to do. But it doesn't take away, to your point, the feud is still there.
Yeah.
He's going to be more pissed when he comes back.
I know,
right?
He is. Yeah.
So, yeah, I thought.
You can play out the Heyman storyline for so
Oh, my God.
Long.
And now you can insert, basically what I think it means, for, in my opinion, it means we go to Rumble probably without. I think Reigns keeps it now to at least Rumble.
I think maybe Brock, maybe even wins, Brock wins Rumble.
Yeah, good call. He comes back. Yeah, that's a better call maybe. And then they face
and you have Mania.
I would be so okay with if Reigns is going to lose, I'm okay with it to be to Brock, to be honest.
To babyface Brock.
To babyface Brock with the build that they've done. And like you take this over a year or whatever. Man, oh man. But that match was physical. It was great. There was some storyline involved.
Pretty even booking with the two of them. They both look pretty tough.
Absolutely.
I even love the callback to like before when these two fought. It was Reigns. It wasn't that Reigns was just this young guy who was kind of in awe being in there with Brock. He wasn't like that, but you obviously had the feel that Brock was the bigger star at that point. When they stood face to face this time, it felt like these two guys are both mega stars,
and I
Roman
also
felt on his level.
Agreed, and I think the way they booked,
and the match played out that way.
I was
way.
Just going to say, I think the way they booked the match, it emphasized that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I did not feel at all that there was a imbalance there at all. So no, it was fantastic. The commentary is great. You know what? As I was watching the show, I was like, it really makes me appreciate. I wish Pat McAfee was there.
Yeah,
because he is that good right now for me. Like he would have made that match even better. But anyway, I was super okay with that match. I thought it was big time feel. Okay with the finish. You know what I mean?
That was my only complaint. My only complaint, and this is a small one about the finish. I love the whole Charles Robinson thing. Man, he took a nice bump.
He did take a
He took
bump.
A great bump. I love Brock picking him up by the pants and just dropped him. That was great. The only complaint I have, I don't even have a complaint about the Usos coming in and the belt shot and all that stuff. Yeah? That's fine. The referee coming down to the ring, who would have obviously, while running down, watched the entire cheating going on and still counted three. I didn't like that. I would have rather had that happen and then Robinson rolls in from outside. And
or even have the Usos go over and wake him up and then throw
exactly.
him in, right? I completely agree with that take because there's so many ways in which you can book that sort of waking up the ref angle.
Because this wasn't a no DQ match. So
throw water on him. Do something. You know what I mean? Like that's been done many, many times.
Because
I agree with you. Because how am I to believe that this ref doesn't know?
Right.
He knew exactly
what happened.
He
watched the whole thing happen.
Yeah.
And plus where it is a no DQ, DQ, that would have been no skin off of Roman to get disqualified.
So right, he exactly. Care.
So having Robinson not see it, that would have been much better. That's
yeah,
the only
I completely agree with that take. It would have been a nice.
But other than that, the match.
But I mean, again, that's kind of picking things apart because I think it was.
But
such
it's a pretty big thing.
No, it is. It is a big thing. I think, and it becomes bigger if they just neglect that stuff going forward too. Right. I think
which
that's
they
so
never used to do.
I agree. It's a good point to bring up because. We care about the little things. I think both of us mm-hmm. care a lot about the little things, and that is a little. That's a big little
that's
thing.
A big little
it's a
thing,
big
yeah.
little thing, and I agree fully. So, yeah, I think just I know we've gone on about Crown Jewel quite a bit, but it was, I think it deserved it. It was a fan freaking tastic show.
Yep.
I loved all 4 hours of it. I thought it was great. Yeah, I have nothing bad to say about it. And it actually because I've said this on the show. It made me tune into SmackDown. Like, it literally made me tune in. I wanted to watch SmackDown on Friday just because of Crown Jewel.
It was,
also, can we just say, that's it. These guys, man, they just, and guys and crew, and they deserve a hell of a lot of props for traveling across the world to get back to SmackDown. They were in Wichita, Kansas, of all places. You know what I mean? No offense to Kansas or Wichita, but like to race back home, I know they have jets and all that shit, but. Give me a break. Would you do that for your job? You know what I mean? Like that's impressive as hell to me.
If
that
I
they,
was wrestling, yes.
Yeah, fair enough.
Be
but like that still needs to be, they need to be given the credit for that, right? The whole crew.
Still have some energy
the
after
whole
that,
crew
yeah.
got back and we didn't miss a single person. You know what I mean? I thought that was pretty cool.
Fantastic pay-per-view. Yeah. I got no complaints about the show. It was top to bottom. You could have had four main events that, were match
yeah, absolutely
match of the year for WWE,
yeah
it's
going to be hard to move forward. I mean, after that pay-per-view, because Survivor Series is going to have a tough time following
you
up.
Know you can say hard to move forward, but I feel like they have been
some
moving forward.
Yeah,
the momentum
yeah,
is going
good, point.
And I'll give kudos, you know, I don't think they're shitting bricks about AEW, but AEW is now starting to spur them
yeah,
on.
I think it's starting to like maybe open some eyes.
Yeah.
Do you think though that, and this is my worry, Survivor Series is almost a throwaway pay-per-view now. Do you think that hurts that it's the next one after Crown Jewel? Because I just feel it's a throwaway pay-per-view.
I think it's going to be the cool down. I don't want to call it a throwaway. I think it's going to be
just
a cool
hate the,
down.
Like brand versus brand with nothing on the line now.
Honestly, this would be a great year for Survivor Series to go back to the old Survivor Series format.
Yeah,
teams versus
happen,
teams. Because then you have an excuse for it to be a cool down pay-per-view.
Yeah,
but it's still
true.
A cool concept,
it's still,
right?
It is, yeah.
We
I
don't
would prefer
we don't,
that. If it's going to mean nothing, I would prefer mm-hmm. that versus just
because
Raw versus
we know Smackdown. We're then going to be building to a major Rumble. I feel like Rumble's going to be big time.
Well,
this year.
And I don't know if you caught this, but there's no December either. There's no December pay-per-view, but they got rid of TLC, right?
Yeah.
So there's now Day One, I think it's called. It's going to be like New Year's Day,
okay.
I think. So there's two January pay-per-views, but they. I mean, it's basically December, I guess, if it's January 1st. But
yeah.
Anyway, so that's to your point. Maybe we're going to – there's going to be a big break between Survivor Series and, I think, Rumble.
We interrupt this program to bring you a special report.
London, Madrid, Bangkok, Moscow, Cincinnati. From the four corners of the world, from the news capitals at home and abroad, the day's headlines brought into focus, the issues and events that shape our time.
All right, so we've got calling in from the road, our good friend Mavs Gillis. Mavs, how you doing?
Just big in towns, going from Capricorn to Halifax and running the Atlanta Grand Prix loop for the whole fall. But no, I'm doing great, man. Doing fantastic.
I made the joke that you were busy doing your kayfabe job because, you know, wrestling's the real job, right?
Exactly. Yeah, I was busy, you know, getting out and doing hockey. It's no professional wrestling, but it's something.
It pays the bills.
Outworking for the man, aren't you, Mavs?
We wanted to get you on to talk about everything that's gone on in the New Japan with the G1 and just get your opinion on the whole tournament itself and some of the major happenings that have just happened over the last few days because of this. What were your thoughts, first off, on the tournament itself? Were you pleased with everything? Did it kind of go the direction you thought, or were there a lot of surprises for you?
I think the fact a lot of guys stepped up in the tournament because they, you know, there were some guys thrown in there that usually don't carry a G1, and they were up to the task. They carried the cards. Again, you you really you built to that Okada versus Ibushi final, and your dealt a blow to start things off where Naito goes down with, you think, oh, Jesus, you know, just more injuries for New Japan and trying to deal with it, especially with a guy that potentially could win it all. But I think he emerged, for me, the story from the G1, and we've seen it brewing for the last 2-3 years with the career of Jeff Cobb, but for him to go 8-1 and come up just short against the eventual winner, Kazuchika Okada, really cements him as a main event player in the hierarchy of New Japan professional wrestling. We've seen him as an absolute truck stop of a wrestler. Of course, he's throwing guys around in that ring that have no business being thrown around, but this is a former Olympian with that brute strength, and he's showing it. And again, with him joining the United Empire and having that mean edge to him as a mercenary, we just, ever since he's made the decision to go in with Will Ospreay and that crew, and the fact that he was representing that faction really shows he's made the right decision. But, of course, you know, we then go into the finals where you have all the hype for Okada and Ibushi, Ibushi going for the three-peat, Okada going for his third G1 title. And, I mean, 20 minutes in, you see Ibushi going for the Phoenix Splash. And, oh, my God, he's going after it. And it, you know what? Charlton nailed it on commentary where he said, Ibushi's thinking, and that's really dangerous. And he went for it, popped the shoulder out, and you heard the bell ring. But no, don't let it end like this. And you could see the dejection in Okada's face as he sat in the corner like, this is, I don't want, he didn't want to win the tournament that way. And Ibushi in just a heap of pain and everyone attending to him. The humility of Ibushi bowing as he's got his shoulder, his separated shoulder, just popped back into the socket. And you know that there's going to be a spot coming down the line where they're going to actually have a finish to that match. And now we go to Okada holding the what's supposed to be the G1 briefcase. But in the press conference, is talking with Chairman Sugabayashi, saying, I don't want a briefcase. I don't want a contract. I want my old belt back, the IWGP Heavyweight Championship, that version 4 title. That now, and again, with Okada, who has been a mainstay in professional wrestling for the last decade, people forget, and you'd see it on his cage match profile. There's a lot of guys who, when you look at the title history, you'll see championships from the independents. You'll see championships from other promotions as they're coming up, and you'll see various levels of titles, be it tag or your supposed mid-card belt. Okada's only ever worn one championship, and that is his belt, the version 4 IWGP Heavyweight Championship. And that's what he wants to represent as the G1 crown. And if that is what is to take place, then you have three top titles being thrown out in New Japan hierarchy, because you have Shingo Takagi as the World Heavyweight IWGP Heavyweight Champion. You have Will Ospreay as the man who never lost the World Heavyweight IWGP Championship and still holds on to the belt on the New Japan Pro Wrestling of America tours, and you see him claiming to be the real World Heavyweight Champion, akin to, I don't know, a bleached blonde-haired guy with a black robe showed up on WWF programming back in 91. And now you have Okada coming out saying, well, I want to bring my title back into the picture because it was Ibushi who unified these belts and took my belt out of play. So let me bring my title back into it. And then you still have Ibushi in there who really does have a claim that you didn't beat me to win the G1. I lost it due to injury. And you now also have, you know, the challenge from Zack Sabre Jr. coming up. So there's so much intrigue at the top of the card, New Japan Pro Wrestling, all stemming from the G1 follow-up. So it's moving towards the Dome, you know, on January 4th, but it's such an interesting road as to where all the collisions, where it will all collide on that night. You know, like we could be looking at a situation, and again, in Yokohama as well, because it's a three-day event this year where all these belts are in play. Might we see finally everything come together for a true champion to be declared out of that? And plus, there's other guys. I mean, Naito has a claim in there as well because he couldn't compete in that G1. So when he gets healthy, we'll see where he stands to come back into things. It's really intriguing coming out of the G1 climax as to where we go. But, you know, overall, a good tournament, and you have great cards going on in America at the same time as well. It's building towards something really special. I know people have been kind of on the downturn, saying there's been a bit of a downturn in New Japan, but I think right now everything's starting to rise from the ashes. And as travel restrictions and the world begins to open up, the prospect for the promotion just grows and grows exponentially.
Yeah, for sure, Mavs. I mean, it sounds like they're just setting themselves up with so many different storylines. At least they have so many different intriguing things going into their big event come January. And I almost got to laugh because it seems like, you know, with Japanese wrestling, even injuries they can do with flair. Just to, you know, to have such a dramatic ending to that match and have it set up that way. And then you still have a storyline with Ibushi to go back to.
Yeah.
But I think Jay actually had a question because you brought up an interesting individual. It was Will Ospreay's name. So, Jay, did you want to fire away?
Yeah, I got a couple questions on the talent itself from the outside, kind of the North American talent. So, Ospreay, we hear that he may have some connection to MLW. And then, so how does that impact his New Japan sort of status going forward, do you think? And also, Jeff Cobb, I'm confused with Jeff Cobb. Is he under contract exclusively with New Japan, or is he working the Ring of Honor sort of American tour? And like, there's just so much confusion around the New Japan. Like BC and I talked about this off air the other day. It's just, I find it difficult to keep track who's exclusive to who, right? And does that make booking decisions difficult, I guess, in your opinion?
I don't have a lot of, I wouldn't have any idea about the contract. From what I understand, I do believe Jeff Cobb is signed with New Japan, but right now the forbidden doors are so wide open, and you see in the landscape of pro wrestling, and it seems as if promotions are more willing to work with each other. I think it only strengthens the fandom of pro wrestling, and it gives you that intrigue, because we'll think back to the Monday Night Wars, where you never knew who could potentially show up on a Raw or who could potentially show up on a Nitro. So having everyone kind of in play to be at certain promotions, it is actually, I think it's a win-win for everyone and for New Japan Pro Wrestling as a whole. To be able to have these guys highlighted on other cards and other events when they can't get into the country, or they're having a hurt, or they're looking at saying, well, you'd have to wait 2 weeks before you can do anything. I think it's a win-win, just get the guys the exposure, get the guys the matches, and also be able to build storylines off that. Because anytime Ospreay shows up, he's a magnet for the microphone, and he's going to speak his mind. And whether you like it or not, he's going to really get his message across in a way that only Will Ospreay can.
All right, before we let you go, Mads, because I know you're busy and you're driving here, but one last question. Obviously, we had a major shocker with the return of Shibata from a pretty serious injury that we thought was career-ending for him. So give us your feelings on that and what you see coming up in the future with Shibata.
That's the Japanese Daniel Bryan story right there, because, as you know, for those that are unaware, Shibata had a match against Okada, and his persona as the wrestler is no-nonsense, shit-kicking, and straightforward professional wrestling. He's a joy to watch in the ring, but, you know, his headbutts, you're watching it, and you feel the impact just from experiencing it on the screen, and it caught up to him where he collapsed backstage following his main event, and it was pretty serious. There was, you know, the word was he was never to wrestle again. Well, 3 years ago, he shows up at the G1 final, and as a surprise to everyone, comes to the ring to his theme in a suit, does a flat back, and everyone's, oh, thank God, he's back. He's, you know, active. He does a flat back, and you see, okay, he's tested himself. Over the last 3 years, he has molded the New Japan United States Dojo, that is a class of wrestlers that are ready to go into any locker room around the world and show the Shibata style, the New Japan Strong style, and be able to hold their own, if not thrive. So he has made many Shibatas out of the Clark Connors, the Alex Coglins. I mean, you see what he's doing with Ren Narita. Carl Fredericks, a perfect example there. I don't want to be missing anyone, but his style has transcended into this new generation. And everyone thought, okay, he's training. That's the way it's going. I mean, he's having camps. He's representing that dojo system in the United States. Well, Zack Sabre Jr. comes out at the G1, and all of a sudden, Shibata's music hits, and you're wondering, what's going on here? And they have a five-minute UWF exhibition match, and you're amazed because we were told he's never to wrestle again. He can't wrestle. And there he is in the ring, and again, it's a shoot-style match, much, much different from a professional wrestling match that you may be familiar with. And it goes to the five-minute draw, and everyone was just enthralled and caught up in so much emotion because you did not expect to see this. This is the man's passion. And to go in there with Zack Sabre Jr., who I think is just on the cusp, I put him. I know he had a title shot in 2018. I know he's getting one coming up. But that's a guy that I want to see take that next step in his career with New Japan. And to go 5 minutes with Shibata in that style of match that suits them so well was a feather in the cap for Sabre Jr. So we'll see what comes out of that. But then we go back to the main story. Where Shibata in the ring, after wrestling a match for 5 minutes, takes the mic and addresses the crowd and says, "The next time you see me in this ring, it will be for a match." And all of the prospects of what can happen with Katsuyori Shibata coming back and fighting his way through. He's fought his way through tougher opponents. The toughest opponent he's had to fight has been his health. You love to see it. And it did put a lump in the throat to know this is what that man has done, has trained and had his passion through his whole life. And all of a sudden, he is on the doorstep and the precipice of being back in the ring and being an active competitor in New Japan Pro Wrestling. Man, he's saying, put me in the tag matches. Put me in these UWF. He wants to challenge himself. He wants to compete. And that's exactly what you see out of a guy that's an alpha male and really wants to be in that spot. He just wants to wrestle. And to not be able to wrestle because of something, you see an obstacle, you make it into an opportunity. He's trained himself and a new class to be ready. And it looks like he's ready to step back in the ring. To see Shibata walk out in his gear and wrestle was incredible. And even if it was just one final match, who knows what happened. Everything else is great.
Yeah. Well, man, thanks, brother. We really appreciate you taking the time. I know you're on the road, so this is greatly appreciated. But we'll let you get back to your drive home. Please have a safe trip home. And we're looking forward to having you on the show again sometime.
You got an ongoing segment. You're going to be our special road segment.
Well, maritime travel is both exotic and exciting. I pray to God every day that I'm on 12-hour flights as opposed to 12-hour drives coming soon. You know what? I'm okay with the drives, but I need to get back on a plane as soon as possible.
We're pulling for that.
Yeah, we got our fingers crossed that's going to be real soon for you, man.
Thanks, brother.
Okay, well, you take care, drive safe, and we'll talk.
Love it.
All right, thanks a lot.
See you, buddy.
Now back to your regularly scheduled program.
All right, so that was Mavs Gillis on the road, the road report from our good friend Mavs. So, man,
yeah, that was great. I, as a as someone who isn't able to really keep up as much as I would like with New Japan, it's always nice to hear Mav's passionate take on the product over there. So, yeah, I loved it. I hope we can kind of keep him on the show going forward and get our updates, because I have lots of questions for sure.
Yeah, I was going to say passion is the right word for him when it comes to professional wrestling, but especially to the New Japan product. And we are saying the truth when we say we really do hope he gets that opportunity once again to do what he loves and call wrestling matches over in Japan.
Yeah, yeah. Pulling for that to happen very soon, and so I can actually get to listen to his work over there as well.
I know we're running long, but yeah. Hey, this is, you know, we have lots of stuff to talk about. We aren't even touching on any of the weekly TV, let's go right into
BFG.
Because I want to give some props to another company that put on a great show, Bound for Glory. That's Impact Wrestling. So let's talk about that a little bit. I do have to, I'm going to call Jay Oaten this, but I'm also going to give him props too. I know Jay, I was over at his place watching the show. We were tweeting during the event, and man, he's a trooper. It was started at 11 p.m. our time, just because remember, we're on the East Coast. Yeah. We're on Atlantic time. So 11 o'clock start time for that show. So by the time it ended, I believe it was 1:45 in the morning. Jay did his best. He got a little quiet during the tag team match, and I looked over and he was asleep on the couch. But he also has a 3-year-old child who's been getting up regularly at 6 a.m. So I don't blame him. So I was able to scoot home during the I only live about 10 minutes away, so I was able to scoot home during the Perazzo James match and still catch the main event.
I was I wasn't a very good host. I will admit that it was tough.
Up until really that point, you were doing great.
I actually, and it's a saving grace because my daughter was up again at 6 this morning. So to be up till 2 last night would not have been great. So, exactly. But I do appreciate that BC was kind enough to scoot home and let me get out of
Well, the thought did go through my mind, do I just leave him sleep and watch the whole thing?
Yes,
and then
exactly. But
I feel kind of awkward. But especially if his wife had to walk down, that would have been just weird. So.
But yeah, so I was not. It was not because I wasn't enjoying.
No,
the
well, maybe that tag maybe match, that match might have done it, but yeah. So let's go through, and that probably be the only complaint I have about that pay per view is that tag match. But we started off with the pre show. We had the tournament file, the intergender 6-way match for the Impact Digital Media Championship. So I played a lot of catch up with Impact. We are both Impact fans, but. It's just been really
tough.
There's been a lot going on with AEW and WWE that to devote time to Impact was tough. Yesterday, while getting ready for the pay-per-view, I watched, I think it was 4 episodes in a row of Impact just to try to play catch-up. So I was familiar with what was going on with this championship. You weren't as much.
I was not, but you filled me in pretty quickly, and I was instantly pretty intrigued. I was a little confused at first, but then when it started to sink in, well, this is just their new TV title, so that makes sense.
For the
21st century. You know that I'm all for secondary titles to help the roster.
Cool looking title.
It is a very nice looking title. My only beef, if it were to be one, I don't understand the intergender thing. So that is my only beef, and that's not a slight against the women wrestlers. That's I don't understand how that's going to work going forward. That's my only comment on that.
Yeah.
Like, how do you book that? How do you have a division when it's both divisions?
This is a tough topic for us to broach because it gives a lot of heat, but we talked about it last night. Like Jordynne Grace won. So she's the new champion. And Jordynne Grace, of all the female wrestlers,
she's a beast.
She's Little Mama Pump, I think they call her, or Big Mama Pump, I forget. She is jacked. She looks legit.
She looks
there.
The part, yeah.
And there was one point during the match where she got absolutely clocked by John Skyler. And we both of us at first were like, oh, like this. But then we're like, you know what? Actually, and I said to Jay, like, that's what should be happening.
She's in the
ring. You're in the ring. It's an intergender match. They should be clocking you. But the other problem is, and I said it, and I think you would agree, I don't really want to see a guy clocking a woman. That's just not my thing.
Optically, it's just not
right.
We get
that
it's scripted and everything they should be able to do to both. And we get all that, and you're helping each other.
But I also don't...
But we don't want to look at a guy, literally, he clubbed her hard.
Yeah, he crushed her.
Yes, that was his job to do that. And yes, a woman could have done the same thing to her.
Yeah.
But it just has an optically uncomfortable feeling when it's him doing it to her,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. It just, it is not a good feeling.
Yeah.
And then, but on the other side of it, I also don't want to see a guy that's just
let up
powder puffing, yeah, somebody either. Agreed. So, you know, where's
and,
the
and
line
I there? Agree with all that. My mm-hmm. other concern, though, is more so with how do you flesh out a division for this title?
Yeah.
When, anyway, I mean, it's, yeah. I'm also intrigued, though. I'm intrigued to see where they go with it. I love the idea of a title. Mm-hmm. And I get that they're trying to bolster their women's division at the same time by being included in that.
Mm.
It's a cool ass looking title. And one little thing that I think they did do well, they made it the size of it. It's big for a woman, but yeah. also a nice size for a man. So like,
exactly. yeah.
it actually looks cool.
Like, and on her, it won't look like, just
no,
like a gigantic.
But you get like a Riho or something. Yeah. It was like massive on her.
I know, yeah.
But anyway, I enjoyed the match. It was good.
And honestly, Grace looked great in the match.
Yep.
She did very well. And she, ironically enough, in the end, she got her comeuppance because it was Skylar who she pinned after she did that. What do you call it? Is that a package file?
It's like I think, what's his name?
Didn't Kevin Owens do something like
no,
that?
No, it's Miedo. Penta does it. It's like
something
I don't
crunch?
Remember the anyways. Actual name, but it's basically like you flip into like a sort of sit down crusher kind of pin,
yeah
I don't know what
it's like a modified well. Michinoko driver
yeah,
or something
ish.
Yeah. Anyways, she won it. That was, you know, whatever. It was a good match. It was a
and if
match.
Anybody can be in there against a man and pick
she
them
can.
Up, and she can,
yeah.
100%.
It
that's not what
it's
we're saying.
Like the China thing against
yeah,
the men, but
that's
still,
not what we're saying. It just it has an uncomfortable feeling when you see a guy full out 100%
yeah.
club another a woman in the
yeah,
ring. It just seems weird, but. All forward if that's the way they're going to go, and we'll see where it goes, right?
We'll see where it goes. We'll give it a chance. And like I say, the title looked cool. The match wasn't bad. It was just
last point,
personal critique.
Yeah, exactly.
Same.
Last point I'll have on it before we move on. What I would like to see them, keep it the way it's for both divisions, but like have feuds that are just, okay, this month we're going to do, or this reign, it'll be a men kind of thing. And I don't know, maybe that's silly
tough.
Too. Yeah.
And I mean, not to say that you can't have an intergender match. So, like, for instance, Santino having an intergender match against somebody where it's a comedy thing.
Yeah, fine.
That makes sense. It's going to
happen.
There's
also a disproportionate.
But I don't
want
to see Jordynne Grace in comedy because no. she is a beast. Yeah. I want to see her dominating people.
But there was a disproportionate, like, there was way more men in that match than women, too, right? So I think.
There felt like it anyway.
No,
so there was Jordynne and Chelsea Green and Madison Rayne. And then on the men's side, there was Crazy Steve, Fala Ba, and John Skylar.
Oh, there
so
was,
it was
okay,
three
so
and three.
Only six of them. Okay.
Yeah,
for some reason, it felt more like that. Okay, so I take that back. My apologies.
Yeah, but it worked. It was pre-show. Yeah. It was quick. They did the whole tournament was done on
was
their
the
Impact
wasn't
Plus
it?
And stuff. Yeah,
it was the pre-show. Yeah, yeah right.
They also had the Awesome Kong
the Hall of Fame ceremony.
Hall of Fame ceremony, which was again kudos to Awesome Kong. She had one hell of a career.
Great
I
career.
Really, really wish she had been able to do that WWE run, but you know.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate that I don't. Do you ever know what happened to that? Like, did it just like did she get injured or something? Because they
remember.
Really
she
built
pregnant?
Her.
I thought. It was
oh, maybe that was if she
something?
Had to leave because that Karma
remember.
Stuff. Man, oh man, she came
they
in with a bang.
They
like,
were building
was,
her, yeah.
That was cool. Anyway.
And she had the showing at the
and that was
the
before
Rumble.
All the women really were being focused and all that stuff. Yeah.
She
had a great
honestly,
career.
Honestly, though,
otherwise.
It's almost like it almost worked out in a way because then it felt like her career just solely revolved around Impact from
yeah.
a North American
yeah.
standpoint.
She was big in Japan.
She had a fantastic career in Impact. Between the feud between her and Gail Kim, well deserved.
Brief stint in AEW, too. She was there for a cup of coffee, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go.
I think so. Correct me if I'm wrong out there, but I'm pretty sure she had a little bit of AEW run.
So we started the show off hot.
Hot!
With the Inspiration making their debut.
Yeah.
The former Iconics.
Got a big impact, big, I guess, big for impact entrance.
Yeah. And Ooh. It's just good to see them back.
Yeah,
I've
so
always
good.
Enjoyed their
so
gimmick.
Good.
Billy Kay is one of the funniest people that I've seen. Well, now she's
FKA
not
FKA Billy Kay.
Yeah, Jessica McKay. But she is just comedic.
She's so
like,
good.
You know, she's really good.
And I don't know her new name, but Peyton Royce is also just good.
Cassie
too.
Lee.
Yeah. I agreed. The fact that people zeroed in on their attire was like pretty comical, as you were mentioning last night. I mean, yes, I didn't enjoy it either, but it didn't take away from the match for me, I don't think.
No, and you know what we also commented on, so they fought Decay,
yeah.
and they ended up winning the championship.
Women's knockout titles. Take
exactly.
Titles.
Decay looked good in there as
they
well.
Did.
The only weird thing was we noticed a few times Havoc had a few stumbles, and we don't know what happened there. It just
she almost tripped a couple times.
Yeah, and I think maybe it's just probably these tag teams getting used to each other as well. But she's a beast, man, and she knows how to use her size. Well,
and you had a good point last night too. What a way! It was a great way to bring them in as like sort of the Beauty and the Beast sort of scenario, mm-hmm. right? Like obviously you have the what are they called now? Not Iconics, they're now
the Inspiration.
Inspiration. And then you got Decay, which is just this juxtaposition of two looks and teams and all that stuff, characters, all that stuff. So I think that was that really made for a great like tag team setup too.
And you mentioned it too. It's good to see Rosemary looks good in there. She had been dealing with, I think it was a knee injury, if I'm not mistaken. So it seemed to really slow her down.
For a long time she had slowed down in the ring, but yeah, she's looking good. She's really picking that back up. And I love that character too, cause I'm into that all day too.
Yeah. So a great way to start. You have a title change, you introduce a new team. So got you excited for the night. We thought that might have been the first of a few different surprises.
I'm going to say this. BC had a laundry list of debuts that he thought were going to happen last night.
I was hoping for it because I'm hoping for Impact to get some eyeballs, but we'll talk about that after. You went next with the three-way match for the Impact X Division Championship, which obviously was vacated by Josh Alexander during Option C. So you had Trey Miguel won the Impact X Division Championship after he beat El Fantasmo and Steve Macklin.
Yep.
Thoughts?
My only thought, my only takeaway, man, Macklin looks great. I like Trey Miguel. I was a big fan of the Rascals. So not taking away from the win for him, but I thought Macklin came out looking like a stud in that match. I really enjoyed that. And pulled out some really cool like X Division shit too. You know what I mean? Yep. Like some dives and some unique moveset. And I thought it was good. Didn't hate that Phantasmo guy. I wasn't really familiar with him before, but plays that, I guess, comedy character, gaga character, whatever. I don't know, whatever you want to call it. But yeah, that was a good match.
Yeah.
I'm okay with Miguel winning if Macklin's going to stick around.
And there's a storyline there with Miguel because he'd been forever chasing that singles championship. So it was a feel-good moment for Impact fans. But I agree, Steve Macklin looked like a beast in there.
And really good.
And this is what we mentioned this last night. This is what I like about what Impact's doing. Whereas AEW seems to be signing all those disgruntled guys from WWE who are like what quote unquote the indie darlings, you know, the ones that everybody's mad because WWE didn't do the exact same thing they did on the indie scene with them. They seem to be getting those guys. Impact seems to be picking up the people that were just the underutilized guys that just didn't, or girls, that just didn't get a chance. And but had potential, but we never really saw it.
Yeah.
And so it's almost like they're a fresh coat of paint for us. A guy like Macklin, we didn't know he had this.
No, I don't think I know he was in a match or two from NXT for sure, but I don't think I saw anything from Macklin on the WWE product.
Forgotten Sons, that was it.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. Yeah, but in the ring and stuff, it was still pretty quick. But go down the list. Eric Young, Zack Ryder, now Matt Cardona. You got
Myers.
Chelsea Green, like go down the list. Like they, I couldn't agree more with you. Like they now have a platform in which they can excel again. And I thought Eric Young really didn't deserve the fate he got in WWE because he clearly was a star there with the Sanity. Anyway,
love Sanity. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. That just seemed odd to me, but.
Well, that goes into our next match. Actually, we had Violent by Design, which
I love that faction.
Yeah. Yeah. So Eric Young's faction with, although Young didn't wrestle, it was Joe Doering and Cody Deaner. That wrestled against Heath and his quote unquote mystery partner, which we all knew was going to be Rhino. Yeah.
Which they did play out a little bit longer than I thought maybe they should have, but we did get the big save from Rhino, came in, did his thing, and then they went over. So that
feel good.
Yeah, it was good.
We were commenting.
It's interesting to see where they go with Violent by Design.
We're both big fans of Heath and we're both big fans of Rhino, but they were, how do you say it? They were looking their age, I guess, a bit there. And I think some of the argument with Impact has been is it kind of was where guys went to finish things off and they didn't really have as much care about things.
And you hope that's not the case with
which obviously things. Is not the case with 90% of the roster when you look at what some guys doing, like say a Moose or a Morrissey, the shape they've gotten themselves in. But that was the only, I guess, argument you can have. But on the other side, you have Eric Young, who still looks like a badass MF.
Looks like a star.
Oh, man.
Joe Doering looks like a star.
His even, promos have been
even
fantastic.
Cody Deaner has transformed.
Cody Deaner looks good.
Yeah, he's not an imposing looking fella, but he has definitely transformed his look from what he was. You know what I mean? Obviously, the yee-haw, whatever that stuff, right? I mean, now he's like an actual badass.
You know what I wouldn't have minded as a callback? If maybe they didn't go in the Rhino route. And instead, the guy who came out would have been Jake something. Because you have the whole...
With Deaner.
With Deaner. And that guy is a beast.
That guy's got a future. Yeah. Too, for sure.
And then you could go a route with Heath.
Funny that he wasn't on the card last night.
Yeah, I know. That's weird. Yeah. Heath with the veteran presence. And then you got Jake something who's got that.
I think your point is good. Look, we're not trying to bury Heath or Rhino. Because,
no.
I mean, listen.
Heath was injured as well. So.
And you're right. Exactly. And yeah. I think it just... The match didn't have the intensity that I was hoping for, I guess is a good way to put it.
I mean,
even Rhino's
looked
like
pretty
sort of,
blew up at the end
of the Heath definitely looked blew up. And then like even Rhino's big comeback, like not it wasn't a comeback because he wasn't in the match, but his big
It was
finale.
A 5-minute match, by the way.
Oh yeah. It felt long. But even like Rhino's, it just didn't, it was lacking the intensity it was hoping for. But anyway. That's you can throw that one away. It was still
but
a
in the end,
match.
You
yeah.
did have the feel good story.
It was cool to see Heath. It was cool to see Rhino. They got their comeuppance on Violent by Design, all that stuff.
And they've got a veteran tag team for the tag team division that's going to help them.
And so. Classic pro wrestling booking, right?
Exactly.
You had the faction heels beating up Heath, and then they get their comeuppance, right?
Yep. Next, you had the again intergender 20 wrestler intergender collar shot gauntlet match. So. Again.
Yeah. Insert past comments in the first match here. I mean, I guess the same thing sort of applies.
I mean, you have Alicia Edwards trying to jump Moose and Morrissey at the same time.
It's just not believable at the end of the day, right? I mean, like, especially in this match, because you had the top talent guys in this match. And I don't know. I mean, why can't you just do it for each of them? Why can't you have a call your shot for women and call your shot for men? I don't know. Like, it just...
I will say... We had the come out of your seat holy shit moment of the weekend, I think. Even
is Eddie Edwards alive? Have we confirmed that Eddie Edwards
so
is alive?
More so than even that spot by Rollins off the cage, because that boot to the face by Morrissey to Edwards.
I thought he might have died. I thought he might have collapsed his face and he had no face left and he fell off the apron. Like
we were literally in mid-conversation about that, and the two of us were like, holy shit.
If you haven't seen it, look it up.
Morrissey literally
caved in his face. No. Like, it was sickening. But I did feel, like, good because I saw the camera pan, and actually you saw Eddie stumbling his way to the back. So he was walking on his own accord.
Alicia was carrying his face. But
yes. It's a solid point. I mean, it's hard to take that match seriously when you do have... studs like Morrissey and Moose and like insert any other top guy there, and then you throw in like what's her name, Kira Tasha Steeles. I'm like, come on, like really?
Yeah,
how am I to believe that she's gonna win this match, right? Yeah. I mean, that's not believable. I'm sorry, there is a physiological difference between these people. Like, that's not a shit on her. It's just like I can't suspend my belief that much, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I agree.
In a battle royal, you can get away with a little bit more.
You can sneak in guys here and there.
We did have a few surprises. This is the match I thought we might have saw some surprises. And let's be honest, we thought we might get, there's been so much rumors going around, we thought we might get a Braun Strowman sighting.
Yeah, or
maybe a Buddy Matthews sighting. I mean, Buddy Matthews even had a tweet out where he mentioned the word bound and also glory in it. So he was really teasing things. We even were crossing our fingers that maybe Bray Wyatt would show up, but we didn't get them. But we did have like people like Melina join. We had the Kiss Demon join, which was...
What's his name again?
Dale Torborg.
Dale Torborg.
That had to be the most random return in the history of wrestling, but it worked.
It worked because
he was playing off of Johnny Swinger, who I don't even know if you've been...
I love Swinger. I've been like... Swinger's been there for a bit now. He's been around.
I mean, of course, he's a longtime veteran, but
pulled out the autograph pad.
Swinger was great
from his fanny pack.
He was great in that match. Even the fans were booing when he got eliminated from the battle royal.
Yeah, he was good.
But then it got down to brass tacks, and you got down to your big boys with the Moose and Morrissey and.
Who was the last? It was Moose and Morrissey. No, it was Morrissey got out by Moose.
Yes,
Moose put Morrissey out. But who was the final two?
Oh, geez.
Who was it?
I just went
because it went to a pinfall at the final. Moose went over.
Matt Cardona. Macaroni.
Yes, that's what it was.
That's what it was. Which was a nice little segment there between the two of them.
And they both looked the part. Like that was cool to see those two in the ring. Yeah. So what we're kind of glossing over is Moose eliminated Morrissey, and Morrissey was not too happy about it.
No, setting up something for
Later. That was really cool. We got an F-bomb dropped. Like audibly heard it. It was like they purposely did.
We had a great conversation around this. Because one of the complaints is, you know, so we've taken the handcuffs off of some of the shows like Dynamite and Rampage, where I guess apparently you're allowed to say shit now.
Yeah.
So everybody is saying shit probably every third sentence. Yeah. So what's the point of that word if everybody's using it all the time? But this was a legit F-bomb that was dropped.
In the heat of the moment, literally got, like, he landed on his feet, obviously, because he's 18 feet tall.
What the F are you doing?
Yeah.
You know, that's
what the F?
Which... that made complete sense.
Like staring a dagger straight
at
him, too.
It's the guy who's your partner who just turned on you. You're like, that's going
to
be your response.
Which, earlier in the night, on an interview, said to Moose, it's going to be me.
Yeah.
So there was even that to play off, too. Yeah. So, it was great. It was great.
So that, I like that placement of that because it's pay-per-view. Yeah. You can get away with dropping an F-bomb. Yeah. And I thought that was great. Now, if you had them saying that every segment,
it loses some impact.
But that, because it got your attention and you're like, wow, he seems
legit.
We
caught it like right away. It was like, legit. He was pissed. Yeah. And that guy being pissed is probably not something you want on your tail. And it builds in, like, obviously we'll get into the end of it, but it builds to stuff in the future. So, yeah, I thought it was the right man won that match for sure. I would have been okay with Cordona winning too, by the way. I would have been okay with that.
Yeah,
but he's still got some build to do with that.
Yeah, exactly. He's still got to get that serious edge to him.
Yeah, true.
Too. So then that led to probably the match of the night for Jay, the three-way tag match for the Impact World Championship. This one was
it put me to sleep literally.
Yeah, so it was the Good Brothers who were the champions. They defeated Finn Juice, which is David Finley and Juice Robinson. And the Bullet Club, which was represented by Chris Bay and Hikuleo. And we stated right from the get-go. One thing we don't like, we didn't like that style of triple threat where one team is out on the apron.
And Impact's not alone in doing this.
No.
AEW does this with triple threat tag matches,
too. WWE did it before.
Why, if it's a triple threat, why is there only two men in the ring?
Right.
That makes zero sense.
What's the motivation to even have those other guys come in? And then every tag.
Why am I to believe they're going to tag somebody else in?
Right. And every tag is going to be a blind tag, which technically is an illegal tag.
Right. It's just dumb logic, in my opinion, in your opinion. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but I've seen triple threat tag matches with three guys in the ring before. It's definitely a thing.
That makes sense.
And then you're really only tagging your guy in.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It's just sloppy booking to me. I don't like it. Maybe it's chaotic, but don't have them that many times then if it is chaotic.
Yeah.
You kind of lose me in that match right away if that's the case, right?
And honestly, I did not have much invested in any of these teams.
No, agreed.
I mean, we've talked about
this. I can't
get
into Finn Juice, by the way.
Yeah,
I know Mavs probably loves them, but I can't get into them.
And... I mean, the Good Brothers have really lost a lot of luster.
Agreed.
For
we actually said that to start the match.
Yeah.
We're like, what are we feeling about the Good Brothers? And I was always high on them until I'm not now. You know what I mean? Like, whatever has gone down and maybe the attitudes of the cockiness in them both. And like, you really haven't done anything, to be quite honest.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you had a big Bullet Club fame and all that stuff, but what have you done for me lately?
Mm-hmm.
They really didn't do anything. Anyway. And if anything, they're the ones who get buried the most on AEW for the Elite, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know.
Yeah.
It put me to sleep, literally.
It put you to sleep, literally. So, we'd say that's probably the one low point of the card.
They keep the titles, which we'll see where that goes.
Now, the next two matches were the really talked about matches. So, you had Mickie James defeated Deonna Purrazzo.
Which surprised both of us, I think.
For the Knockouts Championship. And that was a surprise.
Yeah,
Purrazzo's had
quite a run.
Now, we both had to play catch up on that match because I was driving home at the time and didn't get to see it. But
I will definitely go back. I fingers crossed my pay-per-view got recorded, so I'm going to go finish that. But.
I did catch highlights, though. Like, you know, you can go on Twitter and stuff, and you're going to catch almost the whole match just from the highlights that people show on there. From what I saw and from what I read, I mean, they put on a great show. Can we say boo to Mickey winning? No. I mean, why not? I mean, somebody has to beat Purrazzo, right?
Yeah, that's true. Who better than her?
And we were talking about it earlier in the show. We're not talking Goldberg here with the gray hair and hobbling around.
No, she's still going.
She still looks like she's the...
I can't believe the WWE let her go, to be honest.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know how you let go a legitimate living legend. She's going to go down as a legend, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Absolutely, she will.
Mm-hmm.
How do you let I don't understand. Trish go. They wouldn't let Trish go to Impact. You know what I mean? I mean, they've done it a couple times, I guess.
There's something behind the scenes there with that.
Yeah, it would be interesting to just know why they felt she was expendable, because I just don't feel like she is. I feel like she's a legitimate legend in the business.
Completely agree.
They just let her go. Anyway, whatever.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Maybe it's because she still wanted to wrestle and they didn't want her to.
Maybe so, but whatever. We're doing Impact here. I'm looking forward to catching the entire match. You know, you're talking about two women that can go here. Yep. And as I say, from what I'm seeing, I didn't see many complaints about anything about the match. So that was good. So when I did make it home for it just in time was literally they had just finished the women's match and they were starting the backstory on the main event, which was Josh Alexander against Christian Cage for the Impact World Championship.
There you go.
So, and you didn't get to see
that. I didn't get to see it. You filled me in on the finish. It sounds like it was a great ending. So you get into it.
So first off, we're both massive Josh Alexander
big
fans. Love him. Canadian boy. I love the build up to this, especially the last couple of weeks when they had the sit downs between the two of them. With Josh Matthews, you really got to see some character work from Josh Alexander. They talked about how he grew up 10 minutes from where Christian grew up. You know, it's talking about how
a little emotional stuff.
Yeah, he idolized Christian. Then you have Christian playing up the, you're not controlling your emotions lately in matches. And then the final sit-down that they had, they spliced in a clip from AEW press conference or whatever at a Comic-Con or whatever it was at. But where somebody asked Christian who he'd like to fight outside of AEW, and he asked back, well, who would you like to see me fight? And one of the fans said Josh Alexander. He's like, who? So it just played up that whole thing, and then Alexander got really serious, stormed off, and just like, enough of this, you're a liar either way.
Disrespect me, yeah.
And so it brought something to the match. Now, the match itself, I thought the match was great. It's not going to be, you know, for somebody who's loving the high flying, you know, Hurricanrana, Spotfest. Yeah. No, it's not going to be that. It also wasn't a slow
plot. Which I would never have expected it to be anyway.
No, it's not. It also wasn't a slow plotting match. It was two guys that were really trying to outthink each other. They were always just coming so close to catching them in that move that was going to finish it off.
Yeah.
There was some heat to it. There was some back and forth, but it wasn't where they just broke down. They just completely turned on each other. Somebody turned into an obvious heel.
Yeah,
you could see the respect in the match. And as we got moving towards the match, towards the end, it really picked up. And nice. Then you got the win by Alexander, which he got the win using an ankle lock.
Oh, great.
Yeah. So that was, and they played off really well. Like Christian came in with tape on his shoulder. I think that's from one of his matches in AEW. And there had some work on the shoulder during the match to the point where Christian couldn't even get the hand up to try to get to the ropes to pull himself.
Lift his arm up, yeah.
So he had to finally tap, which right. I love.
Oh, that's cool.
I love that storytelling. So, I mean, fantastic moment. You got Josh Alexander, his wife's there, his son's there. The crowd's going nuts. From what they're saying, Impact supposedly is ending their relationship with AEW. So it was nice to see an Impact guy win the championship. A good guy. It's their WrestleMania. It's Bound for Glory.
Yeah.
So great feel good moment. And he's in the ring hugging with his son and his wife. And it's emotional. Matt Stryker's emotional. You know, all this stuff. And then all of a sudden you see a little commotion behind. And it's Moose in the ring. And the beauty, I guess, of the Collar Shot Gauntlet is I forgot it's basically Money in the Bank.
Yeah.
Which it didn't dawn on me. And I'm like, oh, God, okay, they're doing an angle where he's going to, like, I know what's going to happen. He's going to either beat him in front of his family or he's going to go for a spear and he's going to miss and he's going to hit either the daughter or the son. And I'm like, oh, shit, this is not going to be good. But no, I forgot. Collar Shot.
I don't think I realized that either.
He can cash anytime.
Right.
So he cashed it at that very moment. He spears Alexander out of his boots, pins him in front of his wife and son, who are still in the ring.
In the ring.
And then he's standing over top of the three of them while he's holding the championship. That's how you go out.
Wow.
Now.
Talk about, like, massive heat for Moose.
Thank you. Thank you for that comment. Thank you for that. Because there was two reactions on Twitter. I noticed after this. And I right away, first thing, same thought I had.
100% the best way to do it.
Heat.
That's
heat.
Just like, how better to make a guy hated? Hated.
Yeah.
And he was already a pretty hated dude to begin with.
And how better to make a guy loved in Alexander?
Yeah.
You know, so I thought that. You obviously thought that. A lot of people on Twitter thought that as well. And then a lot of people are like, just thought, oh, that's it. I'm done with Impact. They did a swerve. They did a quick change. They play with the fans' emotions. Yes,
they did.
That's what they did. They played with your emotions. So now you hate the bad guy who's the champion, who it's, as we've said, the best person to have as a champion is the heel.
Yeah.
The money's in the chase.
Now you get Alexander, who got screwed.
You also have Morrissey.
Legitimately, the Moose didn't break the rules.
He didn't break the rules. The only thing you could argue is the referee should have, like, Money in the Bank, you know what one of the arguments is Money in the Bank.
You got to, like, make sure that
you got to make sure the guy's up, yeah, he's ready to go. Yeah, like, yeah. You know, and they have to talk to the guy at ringside and tap the case about 40 times. Like, you sure? Yeah. But they should have probably had the child and the wife get out of the ring.
That's a solid point.
But
they're probably running low on time.
I get what they were doing. Yeah. I get exactly what they're doing. Because they wanted to build up the heat of Moose doing this in front of the kid.
What an asshole move, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, and then you also have built in, you got Morrissey now that's pissed at him. You got Alexander who's going to be coming for him. You can play this out for a while.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
You got
the angle where Alexander gave up his X division. He cashed in option C.
Yep.
So he literally gave up his title he had.
But he achieved the dream.
And he did achieve it, but now it's gone. Now both of them are gone.
And the other thing is, don't forget, Moose has been getting screwed out of the title over and over again
with Kenny and stuff.
And what have we been saying all along? They need to strap that title on Moose.
Yeah, agreed. Right.
So he's been getting screwed over. So he finally gets the title. The one good thing is Alexander proved he can win the title. Yeah. It's not like he lost to Christian and then Moose did this to Christian. Because then you're like, well, he lost a big one. What's the big deal? Now we have a story built in. Right.
At the end of the night, if you will, Alexander, the Impact guy, beats the AEW guy.
Yep.
Moose, the Impact guy, destroys the Impact guy who just won the title, who had the feel good moment.
And it wasn't
where's the loss there? I don't understand where anyone.
You now have two guys that are world champions that can go at it.
And you will say that's what I should have been thinking for the Bianca stuff. It just felt different. The Bianca stuff felt different to me. Maybe that's silly, but it did. This to me feels like it actually.
By the way, this took 7 seconds.
Bianca didn't even get a match.
Bianca took 26.
Bianca didn't even get a match.
Alexander didn't get a match.
No, but Alexander got a match in his match right? That's what I'm saying. Like Bianca did. Yeah, that's not the same. Like Bianca didn't get a match at all. That's my only difference. But anyway, screw the haters on that, because that makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah. But
overall, great show.
It was a great show, and I liked the ending because we both love Moose. Now you're like, oh, geez, now we need two titles because these guys are so great. But we have intrigue. We have build up. And now I do want to watch the next episode of Impact because I'm like still wondering what's going on with the Braun Strowman. Yeah. What's going on with the Buddy Matthews? What's going on with the Wyndham Rotunda? You know, like, what's happening?
Yeah, I think you bring up a good point there, not to kind of, because I know we got to wrap it up and we're getting long, but to me, the X Division isn't a secondary title in the traditional sense. Maybe they do need a secondary title, and maybe that's what the digital media thing is, but to me, that's a lower level title.
Yeah.
So don't you think maybe they do need another top card title? Like, I don't know. Like maybe,
I don't know. Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I'm just overthinking it, but the X Division is that, I guess. Yeah. No, I guess it is because you cash it in and all that stuff. But anyway.
But yeah, overall, I'll give two thumbs up to this pay-per-view. We've
great
had
job,
two
Impact.
Spectacular pay-per-views. I'd say Crown Jewel probably topped it.
Yes, I would agree with that.
I think if you had any
Impact is always going to struggle to compete with WWE.
I'm going to say this. If you had a debut of one of those big names, I think you could have put Bound for Glory up there, but they just didn't have that side
of
it.
The only thing I would say to that is,
we had a karate player at Saudi Arabia. Come on.
The only thing I will say to that is, if you're apples to apples with the two from a card perspective, then the Crown Jewel's got to take it just for the atmosphere and the vibe. And the
matches. The matches were fantastic.
But that's what I mean. Even if it was like apples to apples from the card perspective, which it's arguably pretty close, the atmosphere and the sort of stadium feel and all the pyro and all that stuff, I think I would give it to Crown Jewel. But that's just from the theatrics of it all.
But I will say this. Watch Impact. It's good.
It's
really good.
We've been saying that for ages, but
and if this is them breaking off from AEW, what a way to start it off the new regime.
But yes, I agree. Give Impact a chance.
I might start that hashtag.
You should.
Yeah.
You should.
Yeah, I'll probably get four people out there.
you'll get canceled.
Yeah. All right. Well, this has obviously been our longest episode ever, but I think we had a good topic here, and hopefully
we blame that on Mavs.
Exactly. I hope you people also think that as well. So we'll just end things right here. So we'll just give our socials. So yep. For the pod itself, don't forget, you can find us on Sportswire Sports Radio. The Reverend Thomas Bryce has been such a great supporter us. We really appreciate that. We're hoping, I've been in talks with him, hoping to get him on our show sometime. So give him a chance to really pump up.
Give his story.
Yeah. And the channel, the radio channel, because they got some great stuff on there. They have a mixture of sports.
Well, duh, we're on it. So obviously.
Exactly. But I really like to give him a chance. And he is a big wrestling fan too. So I think he'd have a blast. And he's a character. I think he'd be great to have on. But check us out on that. It's on, if you want to find their radio player, it's on sportinarium.com. So please feel free to check that out, not just for us, but for all the content that he has on there. For the pod itself, you can get us on Instagram and Twitter at WWTTpod. For myself, it's at BC Hunter, WWTT on both Twitter and Instagram, and Jay.
Yeah, and you can catch me at Jay Myers, WWTT, at Jay Myers, WWTT.
And with that being said, we are now about to shut things down. We're going to leave the blanket booth. So, Jay, we are out of here. Go back. Booth.
Oh, well played.